Shabbos, Hashem will help you. But if you don't do anything,
he's not going to help you at all. Man, oh, he's guilting you out on the Shtadlus. You can't beat the trump card, man. Oh, the old Shtadlus one. Okay, right. Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. A little, almost. What's with Selwyn today? No.
Okay. It's Tuesday.
Party.
Ravina Mastnalay, I say what it just jumped now. Like, what's going on? You just touch it barely and it just
barely,
jumps.
Barely touching. Sensitive.
Man, I got it. Oh, Ravina, here we go. Perfect.
A little bit bigger?
I am. I got to get it first.
Okay.
Ravina Mastnalay Asefa.
Okay, that's good.
Uh-oh. I lost it again.
That's fine.
No, it's
about,
not fine.
Up about 10 lines.
Be careful not to touch it at all.
Good.
Okay, Ravina Masnalea Seifa. Okay, let's go over our notes so we'll at least have our bearings. Let's see if these not. This takes a minute for the notes to come up. Have to be patient.
According to Rav Yossi Glee, which Kodesh Kelim are considered personal property?
Okay, let's get us back to where we're up to.
Rav states in
Mishnah
Hashem to include Kodesh Kelim,
okay,
which is property of the woman. That is the
okay.
Ben Azai states, Rav Yossi Glee holds
our Mishnah states that you pay for damages that happens to items not subject to Me'ilah. Right? Oh, no, that's not what I want.
No.
That's the next sugya.
Yeah. Don't jump.
Next one.
Yeah. According to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, which kutche kalim are considered personal property? Rabbi Yossi Aglili said that when you damage someone's animal, it has to be something that does not have me'ila, which we explained in the last sugya, which is kutche kalim. The question is, what kind of kutche kalim was Rabbi Yossi Aglili referring to? That is considered your personal property. So we had a brisa that we had before, and we're just repeating the brisa and adding on to the brisa. The brisa said, Rabbi Yossi Aglili, the first position of Rabbi Yossi Aglili was, the pasuk teaches you that it includes kutche kalim in general, that it's a person's property. We assume all kutche kalim is considered the personal's personal property, and you pay for damages to that. Ben Azai explains Rabbi Yossi Aglili differently than the first position. And he says, well, it's including, the pasuk's including shalamim, and that needs further explanation. Then Rabbi Yossi ben Dustoy explained Rabbi Yossi Aglili that only a bechor, firstborn animal, is a person's property. And then we went through version one yesterday.
And that was the whole brisa.
That is the full brisa. In other words, the brisa brings a three-way machlokes in understanding what is Rabbi Yossi Aglili's position. Is it all kachim, or what includes shlomim, or only bechor, which needs to be further explained. So version one explained, the difficult one to understand is Ben Azai.
Yeah.
The first and the last are easy to understand. The first one says it includes kachik kalim. We assume all kachik kalim. The last position, Rabbi Yossi ben Dustoy, says only the kutche kalim of Bechor is included in you pay for the damages. But what did Ben Azai mean when he said it included shalamim? And that's what the Gemara asked. And point number two, when Ben Azai said this includes shalamim, what did he come to exclude? So the suggestion was he came to exclude Bechor, and we said that doesn't make sense at all, because shalamim, which is clearly more spirit, holy, is considered your own personal property. Bechor would also be. So he said it came to exclude maser of animals, as we had a brisa that explained how maser of animals is not considered the owner's stuff. So it came out at this point that Ben Azai was saying that the shlomim that Rabbi Yossi Aglili says, the kachikam, Rabbi Yossi Aglili says you pay damages for, is shlomim and bechor, to the exclusion of maser. So that's less than the first opinion. Rabbi Yossi Aglili says many more things are included in Kutche Kalim. Well, the last position of Abba Yossi ben Dustoy said only a Bechor, and that's the only Kutche Kalim. So that's how we learned from three of Machlokas. First position, all Kutche Kalim. Second position, Shlomim and Bechor. And the third position, Rabbi Yossi ben Dustoy, only Bechor. That was what we're up to yesterday. That was version one of this give and take statements over here. Now, Ravina has version two and wants to learn it a bit differently, a different version of this discussion, and that's going to present problems. Okay, that's what we're up to. Ravina, when he heard about this discussion, and especially the statement of Rav Yochanan, it was that statement of Rav Yochanan that was used before, he uses this discussion a little bit differently. In other words, the discussion that we had in version one was focusing on the second opinion of Ben-Azai. Ben-Azai, right over there. Ben-Azai. That's the opinion we were focusing on, Ben-Azai. What was he coming to include or exclude or whatever? And there were suggestions, and we had a statement from Rabbi Yochanan. Okay? So now, the answer of Rabbi Yochanan that we concluded with. Now, Ravina says, we're not going to be focusing on Ben-Azai, we're going to focus on the last position of Abba Yossi ben Dustoy, who says that only a Bechor is personal property. And we're going to use this whole discussion to discuss him. And that's what direction they want to take this version two. This version two is saying that there's a discussion of the third position. So that's what Ravina Masaleh Seifa, Ravina taught the statement Rabbi Yochanan in reference to the concluding part of the Braisa of what? That Abba Yosei ben Dustoy Omer, the third part of the Braisa said, Abba Yosei ben Dustoy said, Lo Omer ben Azai, when ben Azai said, that Kutche Kalim is included in damages. He only said it Ela b'Bechor b'Vad, only by a Bechor. And on that, we have the following discussion. And the discussion went like this. Is a Bechor? Bechor l'mutei mai. What was Abba Yosei coming to exclude when he said Bechor? Want to analyze him? He said, Rabbi Yosei said only Bechor. So what's he excluding? Kutche Kalim only refers to Bechor, not others. So what's he excluding? So, Ilema, if you say Lemute Shlomim, it's coming to include Shlomim. Okay, now is that going to make sense? Now you can use a different logic. Hashta, Uma Bechor, look at this, a Bechor, what do you know about a Bechor? Bechor has a certain strictness. Shekadosh Mirechem, it's holy from the birth canal. Mm-hmm. Whereas the animal is holy right away. Right away it's holy, right? And still, if it's outside of Eretz Yisrael, Mamonahu, it's still considered the owners of the property. And that we said, this rabbi says, that is considered Kutche Kalim belongs to the owner. So if that is from birth a holy thing and it still belongs to the owner, so Shlomim animal, the animal's born, it's not holy, only after the person designates it as a Shlomim. We buy with every question, so he couldn't be coming to exclude Shlomim. So even though Abba Yossi says that Ben Dustoy says Ben Azai only said by Bechor, he couldn't be excluding Shlomim, because Shlomim, you see, on the one hand, is less holy. See, in the last sugya, we turned it around and made Shlomim sound more holy, because Shlomim had all this service to Hashem, we said yesterday. But he didn't see a side going the other way. So it can't exclude Shlomim. So what is it coming to exclude? So like we said, the statement of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said, it's coming to exclude, as we said yesterday, Lemute Maser, to exclude Maser, the Maser, the tenth animal. And now we're going to bring the same Brisa that we brought yesterday. Kidetanya was taught in a Brisa. The Bechor Nemar, by Bechor, it says, Lo Sifte, you do not redeem, and therefore what do? V'nimkar tam chai, and if it's a Bechor. If it is unblemished, you can sell it alive, and the guy waits till it develops a blemish afterwards. Ubal mum. And if it is blemished, v'shachut, and you slaughter it, that's over there. But b'maser, but what does it say by maser? That's what we're focused on. It says, lo yigael. It should not be redeemed under any circumstances. And what do we see? It's not sold alive or slaughtered. Right? And not only that, lo tam, doesn't matter if it's non-blemished, lo balmum or is blemished. What do we see? It's a brisa. And by meiser animal, it can't be sold. It can't be sold. It's not your property. Right? So that's why it's coming to exclude that. So this version two is saying that this third opinion of Abba Yosef and Dostoy, who says that Ben Azai really only said that Kachakam of Bechor alone is included in damages, what he comes to exclude, he says he's coming to exclude Maser, right? And not Bechor. Correct? So in other words, a similar discussion of yesterday, but applying it to the third rabbi. So he's saying, okay, so now so what's he really saying now? So you're saying this third rabbi says, according to Ben Azai, that what kind of kachakam do you pay for damages? Even though he said Bechor alone, but Bechor alone cannot be excluding Shlomim, so it's Bechor and Shlomim. So what's he coming to exclude? Maser. So Gemara says, this version too doesn't make any sense. For a very simple reason. You might want to say this from logic, but the words of the Brisa do not allow you to squeeze in such an interpretation. Because what were the words? What was the words of the third opinion? What was the words, the exact words of this Abba Yossi ben Dostoy? That Ben Azai said his words, Ella b'bechor bilvad.
Yes.
Only by a bechor bilvad. Only. What does only mean? What does the word only mean?
That and only that.
This and that's
nothing
it.
Nothing else. Nothing else.
But what have you already said? Well, it can't be excluding Shlomim.
Mm-hmm.
So it means it's Bechor and Shlomim. But so that's the more sense. That doesn't make sense. Ha Bechor Bavad Kamar. Abba Yosef Nesoy said that Ben Azai did not make his statement except in regard to Bechor. How can you say that he meant to include Shlomim as well? Doesn't make sense. Therefore, the Gemara concludes, Kasha, this is indeed a question that cannot be answered. And therefore, this explanation, point 12, therefore, this version is knocked out. This explanation is therefore rejected. Rather, Abba Yosef ben Dosi meant to exclude not only a maser animal, but also shlomim, as we said before. Since a shlomim animal possesses greater sanctity, that it requires leaning libation and waving the breast, as we said yesterday. And therefore, version 2 is out. We stick with version 1 of yesterday, and effectively, what we've determined today is that there is no other versions that we can learn. That's basically what it did. And that's what the notes will reflect in version number 2.7. Version 2, the question was, Abaye, Abba Yosef and Dose said, Ben Azai said only a Bechor. What did he come to exclude? The suggestion was he excluded a Shlomim, to which was rejected. A Bechor is Kodesh from the moment it is born, and still is the owner's property, although more so Shlomim is the owner's property. Answer of Yochanan, he excludes Maser, as said in the following Brisa, as we learned already this Brisa. But the question on that was, Abba Yosef ben Azai said only a Bechor, implying nothing else. Conclusion, this is left difficult. Ravina's version is rejected, and therefore version 2 is out, and all we have is version 1. And therefore we have the conclusions, the exact same conclusions we had yesterday. When we now, in our Mishnah, when we learn our Mishnah that says things without Me'ilah are included in damages, and we says that author is Rabbi Yossi HaGlili, and Rabbi Yossi HaGlili says Kutche Kalim belongs to an owner, there's a three machlokas. How many types of Kutche Kalim are we referring to when they get damaged? According to Rabbi Yossi, first of all, Rabbi Yossi HaGlili is like what we said in the Sugi before. That Kutche Kalim will refer to all kachakam except for what? A Bechor in the temple era in Israel.
Right.
That would be excluded.
Right.
But other kachakam, all of the kachakam, if you damage them, you gotta pay the owner. That's opinion number one in Rabbi Yossi HaGlili. Opinion number two, Ben Azai says no, that he owns only Shlomim and Bechor are considered personal property. Meiser is not. Abin Destoy says, no, only Bechor is considered personal property, and even that only outside of Eretz Yisrael. Yeah. right? So it's a machlokes in terms of what types of kutche kalim get damaged. You have to pay for, in the opinion of Rabbi Yossi Aglili. And that's what this sugya has refined for us. It's refined. The previous sugya said we're like Rabbi Yossi Aglili. And yes, there are kutche kalim that you pay for, that you damage. Now there's a machlokes, how far did Rabbi Yossi Aglili go? Now we know one thing for sure he didn't say, a Bechor in Eretz Yisrael. That's for sure not.
Even after the temple
times. Even after the temple times. But beyond that, a regular Bechor, everybody agrees, outside of Eretz Yisrael, yes, that is the owner's. Then according, what about Shlomim? Okay, well, Rabbi Yossi says no. Benah says yes, even Shlomim. And then the first opinion says even everything else. Even Maser.
Mm-hmm.
Everything, even except the Bechor in Eretz Yisrael. That's going to be the difference.
So okay. Even the Maser, even the Torah.
According to the first opinion.
Yeah, the lenient.
Because Maser is the most, in other words, a degree of what's the assumed most holy Maser, followed by Shlomim, followed by Bechor outside of Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so that's the Torah Machloka. So that's the end of the Sugya. Now we start a very short Sugya, like a two-line Sugya. Sugya 15, on Daf 13a, we're just going to ask the question now. Our Mishnah states that you pay for damages that happen to items not subject to Me'ilah. That's what we learned. Mm-hmm. Now, in the previous Sugya, we said it was Rabbi Yossi Haglili who says it's Kutche Kalim, and that's what it refers to. So our central issue is, could our Mishnah be according to another Tana, not Rabbi Yossi Haglili? Maybe there's other options we could be like. Remember, you have to remember, the Mishnah only said what? Items that are not subject to Me'ilah. So, up to now we said, well, it could still be Kutche Kalim that are not subject to Me'ilah. And that's a Chiddush. Because remember, Rabbi Yossi Aglili says Kutche Kalim is not subject to Me'ilah. Right? Well, we learned in the previous Sugya, there's a Chacham who argue on him. So the question is, maybe our Mishnah can be going like another opinion and not like Rabbi Yossi Aglili. We're going to explore that idea briefly. Right now we are saying our Mishnah is Rabbi Yossi Aglili finished. Our Mishnah says items that don't have Me'ilah, you pay damages for. Well, what does that mean, don't have Me'ilah? So, well, I guess Rabbi Yossi Aglili, who said by Kutche Kalim, when a guy lies, cheats, and swindles, you pay the fifth, he'll say the same thing over here in our Mishnah. And yes, he would. But could we perhaps learn the Mishnah in another way, not to have to be like Rabbi Yossi Aglili? Because remember, the Chachamim argue on Rabbi Yossi Aglili. We learned that last week. Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Yossi Aglili and say all Kutche Kalim do not belong to the owner. So is it a way maybe to learn this Mishnah not like Rabbi Yossi Aglili? We'd rather want to learn like the Chachamim. Let's explore that possibility. It's going to be one question and one answer, and that's it. Very brief, but that's the central issue. Could our Mishnah be according to another Tana and not Rabbi Yossi Aglili? That is the central issue. To this, we get a statement of Rava. Okay, let's hope we get a statement of Rava. Rava Amar. Okay, he has an alternative interpretation of our Mishnah. He says, my nechas shein b'mila. What did the Mishnah mean when it says properties that don't have aren't subject to Me'ilah? So look what he says. Look what he says. Items that are not subject to Me'ilah, he's going to take the extreme position. Well, you tell me, what does something mean, nechasim that don't have Me'ilah? The simple meaning of doesn't have Me'ilah means they're not Kodesh at all.
Yeah. Right.
Not even Kutche Kalim. Nothing. Not subject to Me'ilah. Could mean, yeah, you have to remember, we're excluding something. When you say not subject to Me'ilah, you're excluding something. Up to now we said, it's like Rabbi Yossi Aglili, we're excluding Kutche Kutchim, the holy, holy stuff. And some Kutche Kalim, you do pay for. This Rabbi said, you know what the Mishnah does something to Me'ilah? It's excluding any Kutchim, even Kutche Kalim. And that, not subject to Me'ilah. Because that would be like the Chachamim. Because the Chachamim hold that Kutche Kalim are also subject to Me'ilah. Or we have a Machlokes. How much Kutchim is subject to Me'ilah? Chachamim say, cross the board. Kutche Kutchim, Kutche Kalim, not all of this is subject to Me'ilah. None of it belongs to the owner. Rabbi Yossi Aglili is the lone arguing position who says, yeah, Kutche Kalim does not have me'ila, belongs to the owner. And therefore, our Mishnah, we thought, was going to be Yosei Glili. It says, just not me'ila. Now we're saying, no, perhaps it's like the Chachamim. And when it said, nechasim that don't have me'ila, it means, nechasim she'ein bahem din me'ila. It refers to properties that do not possess the fundamental element needed for the law of me'ila. In other words, property that does not possess any sanctity at all. Meaning, non-kachim, period.
Period, that's it.
Source point 13. By property is a nasig namil, the Mishnah means property to which no sanctity attaches at all. For it is only when property possesses sanctity that the law of Mila can apply, such as in the case of Kachi Kachim and even Kachi Kalim. We're saying, so what do you mean? What do you mean with that statement? Umainihu, so what would be things that don't have any, Mila at all?
Hedyot.
The hedyot, ordinary property that's not been consecrated at all. Any property that is consecrated, however be it, even kutche, kutchim, or kutchim, kalm, is not subject to law of damages. He's learning it straight. It's no me'ila, not no kutchim at all. Finished. Whoo, that's an easier interpretation. Right? Doesn't have me'ila, meaning to say, excluding all kutchim. That's what Rava would like to say, and therefore that's very good, because that goes like the Chachamim. You'd rather have a Mishnah go according to most rabbis than a lone opinion. Do you hear? In other words, when we learned our Mishnah, and it says, what properties do you pay damage for? Things that don't have me'ila. So up to now, we've made it really complicated. Don't have me'ila, but could still be holy. So what kind of thing can still be holy and doesn't have me'ila? Well, according to Yosef Aglili, Kachik Kalim is holy, but still it belongs to the owner, so it doesn't have me'ila. And we're including even certain, we excluded only Kachik Kachim, and even Kachik Kalim can have no me'ila, and if they damage, you have to pay. And there's a three of Machlokas, how far did Yosef Aglili go in terms of how much Kachik Kalim? So now the Gemara is saying, why don't we learn a little differently? Just say, there's a chachamim who say, forget it. Even kachik kalim, the owner possesses none of that. And therefore the Mishnah is excluding all kachim. Finished! So then what do you pay for? Only a privately owned thing. That's something to do with holiness. Let's say that, it'd be simple. Be like the chachamim. You don't have to tray a cup, but which kind of kachik kalim? This kind of kachik kalim? Then, like a singular opinion, blah, 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 blah. In other words, that's a simple way to learn it, no? Where it says, you know what? Very nice. But again, the problem is the wording of the Mishnah does not suggest what you're saying. We're saying, so what do you really want to say with this, Robert? You really want to say that all kachim are excluded. If you damage any kind of kachim, you don't pay. You don't pay. It's totally excluded. So why you say azoi? Why you say come and exclude things that don't have mila? Just say it includes things that are a hedjit, that are private, that are non-kodesh. Just say straight. Why say this way? Say, you know what gets included? Things that are a hedjit. Hedjit means non-holy. Yeah, why do you say things that don't have me'ila to make it a double negative? Just say, you know what you pay for? Things that are a hedjit. Say it straight. The least, the more challenges, says the least the hedjit. Then the Mishnah, according to you, should have said simple. Hedjit, property of an ordinary person. Why does the Mishnah use the misleading phrase, properties that are not subject to the laws of Me'ila? Why use such a crazy phrase? That's a rock solid question, and therefore Nora concludes, Kasha, again, this is indeed a difficulty, and therefore this is not an acceptable interpretation, and now you know why we were draining a cup for the whole week last week with Rabbi Yossi Aglili. You understand? That's what this little sugya is saying. There's no other way to learn this Mishnah. Because if you wanted to say we're excluding all kachim, just say an animal that is a hedyot, belongs to hedyot. Finished. The Mishnah Dafka did not use an easy expression because it's not such an easy interpretation. The Mishnah was of saying Rabbi Yossi Aglili's position, which is not the easy position to understand, and therefore he had to use such a word to say to exclude me'ilah. And therefore, if it doesn't have me'ilah, but can still be kachim. So according to now, it comes out like this. We now have, this is the interpretation of the Mishnah. There's no, what this sugya said is don't think there's another way to learn the Mishnah. There's no other way to learn the Mishnah. You can only learn Rabbi Yossi Aglili, and obviously Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, who put the Mishnahs together, he must have felt that the law is like Rabbi Yossi Aglili, you know, because why would he write it unless he felt the law was like Rabbi Yossi Aglili, right? As opposed to going against the Chachamim. So this one word of writing, things that don't have Me'ila, as opposed to saying things that belong to a Hedyot, he's clearly implying the laws of Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Now the only discussion is, how far in Kachekam did Rabbi Yossi Aglili take this? To that there's an argument. The fact that we're spilling so much ink, trying to understand Rabbi Yossi Aglili's position, means that this must be the position we hold like. Right? Because if we hold like a Chachamim, why do we care so much about an opinion that's going to be discarded? So it would seem that the Gemara is clearly telling us that we go like Rabbi Yossi Aglili, as opposed to everybody else. All right, that's the end of this little sugya, and that's what we see in our notes here. Very brief. Statement of Rava. The Mishnah says property in which there is no Me'ila. This refers to property to which the law of Me'ila does not apply to, i.e. a person's property, i.e. even Kachik Kalim are excluded. This would be in accordance with the Chacham who argued with Yossi Aglili. Question, if so, the Mishnah should have said so explicitly. Right? Should have said explicitly what? Let me add the word, what? One second. Explicitly. And used the word hedyot. Property, ordinary property. That's what it should have said.
Instead of not items not subject to Me'ila.
Right, should have done that. So therefore, Rava is refuted. Yeah. The resolution, the Tanna or Mishnah, can only be according to Rabbi Yossi Haglili. Okay, tomorrow's sugi is going to change things around. We're going to now discuss not if we damage Kachim. What happens if Kachim animals damage us? Yeah. Now we're going to reverse that. That's going to be tomorrow's topic. Okay, shkayach, guys. So, fresh topic tomorrow. Fresh topic. Do I need to keep this up there?
No.
Is that how it goes?
Thank you.